If you would, please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. We'll be looking at primarily verses 19 and 20. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And it reads as following. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. John writes here, and he says, that we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, he is greater than our heart, and knows all things. We are really a privileged people. We're members of the Lord's kingdom, the kingdom that can be identified within the scriptures. And because of that, we have been given some privileges that the rest of the religious world just cannot boast about. And among those privileges is having God know even the depths of our thoughts and can give us credit for the things that we would like to do and perhaps don't even have the ability to do. For just the next few moments, I'd like to share with you from a subject that I like to call defeating doubt. Defeating doubt. This great island of Patmos preacher, John, certainly had a minister's heart. Here in this New Testament, John spent quite a bit of time debating the authenticity of those who claim to be Christians. He argues time after time regarding their claim, and in many cases he has found them to be counterfeit. And upon finding these people to be counterfeit, those folk who are in error, he have a tendency to really let them know exactly where they stand. He doesn't go halfway. He doesn't just stand around the fringes. He is pretty direct in his communication with those people. But he also writes to those of us who are Christians, who are members of the kingdom of God. And he has some wonderful things to say to us. I sort of looked at this as John having the ability to give us almost like three different avenues that we could look at to sort of examine our own life, sort of a test. I think the first thing he does here is give us what I consider a doctoral test. He asks us to examine ourselves, that if we confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, then we are of Christ. But if we do not confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, then we do not belong to Christ. The doctrine has to be right in order for Christ to have privity to us. He also issues what I consider a social test. And in that social test, he says that if we do not love one another, then we do not belong to Christ. Now, he didn't say if you're title across the building is Church of Christ. He didn't say that if you act pious on a Sunday, that people will know that you are my disciples. We are known because of our love one for another. What a wonderful social test John proposes here. Then he also gives us what I consider an ethical test. And that ethical test would be that if we practice sin, or we have a pattern or a lifestyle of sin, then Christ is not in us. He is not our Savior. He brings to light all of those who claim relationship and kinship with Christ. And in many cases, he has found these people to be lacking. But now, John, being the minister that he is, he looks at those who are genuinely trying to do the will of God. And he pauses for a moment to encourage them that they should not have a doubt in their heart about their salvation. Because sometimes doubt arises in our hearts. It gives us various depressing and debilitating thoughts. You know, however, I guess when I look at my own life, sometimes I do believe that there's always reason to doubt. Because you really feel that you can't add up totally to what the scriptures requires of us. You know, when we think about how often we've been perverted in our judgment, we find there's reason to doubt. There's reason to doubt when we find how willful we have been in our own wishes, having little or no regard sometime for the will of the Lord. There's reason to doubt when we think about how often we've been shameful in some of our actions and dealings one with another. There's reason to doubt when we consider how we have sort of mismanaged our mission sometime as Christians, not using our time wisely. There's reason to doubt. There's reason to doubt in considering how far the Lord has expected us to go. And in our own conscience, we realize that we have not gone far enough yet to even satisfy ourselves. So I believe there is reason to doubt. Now, there are people in the world who would tell you today that these things don't bother them. They're sort of acting like they didn't have a yesterday. They didn't have a past. But I didn't grow up in the Lord's church. Certainly, I had a past. And I didn't mind sharing my past and hope that somebody would find the way to the kingdom of God. But I haven't always done those things which God has required of me. I haven't always done the things that the scriptures have required of me. So I'm thankful that God has given us a Savior like Jesus Christ, so that when I look at his example, that I don't have to doubt. You know, John pauses here for a moment, and I believe he begins to express some encouraging words. Now, remember, I only have about 15 minutes here, so I got to be kind of short and to the point on these things. Normally, I'm a three-point person, but for the 15 minutes' sake, I'm a one-point person tonight. So just work along with me here, and we'll be finished in just a moment. Now, when there is a possibility of assurance, when there is a possibility of assurance, it helps us to defeat doubt. John begins here in verse number 19 by saying, "We know." Now, I like that. John is saying he is absolutely confident in the statement that he is making. He says he is certain, he is sure, he is positive about the things in which he's talking about. You know, you ask some people if they're going to go to heaven, and they'll give you an answer like, I think so. I hope so. Well, John here tells us that we can be sure because he says we know. You know, I believe that heaven is too wonderful to doubt that this journey will take us safely to that destination. And I believe that hell is too awful to want any part of that situation. And I do know that this life is too short to accomplish all the things that I love to accomplish. Therefore, I have hope in the resurrected Jesus Christ. You see, when it comes to Christianity, we need to know what we know. Christianity is a religion that is above all religions in this world. It is the only religion that is able to guarantee us, if we are obedient to his word, that his grace will save us and he will take us to live eternally in his presence. So John says that he is not guessing about this situation. He is not supposing regarding this situation. John says, we know, and that's some good information for me. Now, John begins talking about the experiences of a condemning heart. There are some things that our heart, our conscience, can do for us to set us on the straight and narrow if we're not yet following the will of God. John says in verse number 20, for if our heart condemns us, if our heart judges us, if our conscience judges us and tells us that we are not doing what we ought to be done, he tells us that God is greater than our conscience. The word condemn here in Greek is it's an interesting word. It's really a compound word. Catechinosis is primarily the root of this word. And this word means to know against. Here in context, it means when your conscience knows something against you. You've often heard people say, allow your conscience to be your judge. But quite often, many people have violated their conscience by doing their will and not doing the will of God. John says there is time when our conscience knows something against us. There is time when our heart has some incriminating evidence against us. You know, you can't fool your heart. You can't fool your conscience. We've gotten accustomed sometimes to fooling each other. A fake smile might fool some folk, but it won't fool your conscience. A firm handshake might fool some people, but it won't fool your conscience. A stiff upper lip might fool some people, but it won't fool your conscience. Sometime when nobody else knows, your conscience knows. What a great compass for guiding us here on earth. You know, there are moments of madness sometime we have that we just can't explain why we act the way we act. Our conscience helps to guide us. For those instances of insanity that happen to many of us, our conscience condemns us during these situations. John claims in this book that if you're going around saying that you have not sinned, he says that you're fooling yourself, because even your conscience will tell you otherwise. Every true child of God, I believe, at some point in his life, has faced a condemning heart. He has faced a time when his actions that he has done has caused him to think, why did I do that? He has been challenged by his own moral compass. Considering where we are in life as opposed to where we ought to be, these things has given us reason to think. Our heart, our conscience sometimes brings up this red flag and tells us that we have stepped off the straight and narrow. Get back in line with the will of God. He talks about a condemning heart here. He talks about times when our heart or our conscience has something against us. Then he talks about the exhortation of a comforted heart. Now, don't miss this. This is getting toward the conclusion of my lesson here. You need to know this part, because this is the part that I just wanted to shout after I began reading and learning the depth of how God viewed the mind of man. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. God is greater than our heart. If our heart condemns us, We know sometime when we are bitter with a brother in Christ that our heart will condemn us. God knows when we are stubborn and don't do what we ought to be doing, our heart will condemn us. God knows how hard it is for us to overcome evil by doing good. He knows how difficult it is when temptation overtakes us. God knows how difficult the mountains are, and our conscience knows how difficult the rivers are to cross, and how difficult these burdens we have in life are to bear. Therefore, our heart condemns us when we don't do what we ought to be doing. David declares that we as men are simple dust. He knows how much we want to be better than we are, but it seems sometimes there's always something that permits us from accomplishing all we want to do in the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's time. There's a limitation on time. That's the one element of life I always told my kids, you cannot get back. We had a plant that we ran to capacity. And if you ever had a machine break down, you can't get that production capacity back. It's the very same way in life. Don't spend your time idle, because you can't get that idle time back and turn it into productive time. Do what we can in the kingdom of God every day, that we may accomplish his will, and the Lord would bless us in the end. If you don't mind, turn over to 2 Chronicles. Now, I know you might want to blow that one off, blow that page or two off, because we normally don't go over there. Maybe a little dusty for some of us. But if you don't mind, flip over there to chapter number 6. And we're going to kind of look at a few things here and see what Solomon, the wise man, had to say about God's view of the conscience. Look at chapter 6, beginning at verse number 7. And I'll pause for a moment for those who like to read along with us. Here we find Solomon has built the temple, and Solomon is dedicating the temple to the Lord. And he says in verse number 7, "Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the Lord, to build a house in the name of the Lord God of Israel." Listen to verse number 8. "But the Lord said to David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart." What are you seeing here? Well, he said it, I think, best in verse number 8. So we might just have to read that one again. "But the Lord said to David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well. Thou didst well in that thou built, excuse, thou didst well in that thou didst well in that thy was, that it was in thine heart." I believe what Solomon is saying here, that David, out of all the great things that he did in his life, and as close as he was to God, David wanted so much to build this temple. He wanted so much to build this structure for God. He had it in the depths of his conscience to do. But we know that God told him, because of the blood on your hand, you know, "I'm not going to allow you to do it, but I'm going to allow your son to do it." So here, it is a wonderful thing when we can just sit back and see how God has given David credit for building a house for him that he didn't even literally build. But it was in his conscience, it was in his mind, that he was going to build such a structure. Why do you think God gave him this credit? Well, I'm persuaded that he had accomplished the task. In his heart, his desire was to do it, even though God would not permit him to do it. This afternoon, all of us realize that we have not always done what God would require of us. And because we haven't always done that, our conscience tells us that we need to get back in the straight and narrow, that we need to once again follow God's will. You know, it's an unfortunate thing when people realize what they ought to be doing and they refuse to do it. You know, there is no salvation for people who remains in that state. But I'm so grateful that God has not told me that I have to work my way into heaven. But he did tell me there are some things that I must do. One is hear his word. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Nick is going to do the invitation tonight. But just to hear his word. Man, how can I hear his word unless somebody preached the word to me? You know, I came out of a totally different background than many of you. But I got to tell you that God's saving grace was there because somebody cared enough to share the truth. Therefore, this afternoon, I'd like to leave you with just a few words, and that is that once we have decided that we're going to follow the Lord, that there is no retirement plan on this side. This is something that we do all the way to the end of life. Now, I can tell you the 401k plans that are out there, they're pretty good. But none of those things take care of us beyond the grave. And I think the one thing that have made me so happy in the kingdom of God is that concept of love. How brethren love one another. We love each other in spite of who we are. We love each other because of the differences. And we love each other because there is a command that God has given us so that the world will know that we belong to him. If your conscience condemns you, listen to our conscience. May the Lord bless you.